Hey there, it's Elizabeth McQueen, the host of This Song, and I want to let you know that soon we'll be doing things a little differently around here. We're actually going to move to a season format rather than a weekly format for This Song. It's almost fall festival madness here in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast, so we're going to stop producing podcast episodes for a while. We're going to use our time to collect a bunch of great interviews and make new shows, and then, starting right before Thanksgiving, we'll be releasing them until mid-March, which is when our spring festival madness hits here in Austin. We'll take another break until June-ish, and then we'll have a summer season. Okay, so that's what's coming. Let's get on with what's happening on this show. And welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and then talk about the good stuff, the whys and the hows of transformational inspiration. This week, we're going country. We're going to speak to Dion. Yes, Dion, the wanderer, runaround Sioux, that Dion. And then we're going to hear from Austin country artist Amanda Ceballos. And I assure you, even if country isn't your thing, you're going to dig this episode. First off, Dion. He's one of the great early rock and roll singer-songwriters. His songs and his voice, I mean, that voice that's like rough and aching at the same time, they're embedded into the American consciousness. Most people know his early work, like I said, Runaround Sioux or The Wanderer. But Dion has never stopped making music. In fact, he released a record last year. It's called New York Is My Home, and the title track to that record is a duet he did with Paul Simon. It's really pretty. And he was in Austin for South by Southwest. You know, South by Southwest, the gigantic music and film and interactive festival that engulfs our town every March for 2 weeks. So Dion was here to give a keynote address, and afterwards I got a chance to sit down with him and talk to him and, like, seriously, I did not expect him to cite the life-changing artists that he cited. Like, I kind of almost fell out of my chair. And then, after being totally surprised by Dion, I was totally given a glimpse into what it was like in those early days of American rock and roll. So here he is, Dion.
Oh, I think it was my preteen years. I could remember it so clearly. It was a Sunday. My mother was cooking sauce for the Italian family. We were about to have some macaroni and a good meal. And I hear this song coming from the back room. We lived in this three-room apartment, and I hear this song coming out of this transistor radio we had back there, Honky Tonk Blues by Hank Williams.
Well, I left my home down on the rural route. I told my pa I'm going stepping out and get the Honky Tonk Blues. Hey, the Honky Tonk Blues. Hey, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blues.
Just grabbed me. I never heard anything like it. I don't know why it was on that station. I found out later on it was a station out of Newark, New Jersey, the Don Larkin show. He was a country fan. He wasn't born in the South, but he had been in the Army. Fell in love with country music and was a DJ and started this country music station out of Newark. And he would play Lefty Frizzell, and I went crazy.
If you got the money, I've got the time. We'll go honky tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll make all the night spots dance, drink beer and wine. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time.
Ran up to Fordham Road in the Bronx, where I was from. People didn't listen to country music. And I met a guy named Lou Cicchetti, who owned Cousins Music Shop up there. And I told him I heard this song by Hank Williams, Honky Tonk Blues. He made sure he got it for me, and he got my phone number. And every time a Hank Williams, a new song would come in, he would call me. I'd run up there, and I'd get that record. And I knew about over 40 Hank Williams tunes when I got on tour with Buddy Holly and Waylon Jennings, and they were like, I sang Hank Williams songs to them that they didn't even know were Hank Williams songs. I knew more about Hank Williams than they could dream of.
Well, I went to a dance and I wore out my shoes. Woke up this morning wishing I could lose them jumping honky tonk blues. Hey, the honky tonk blues. Oh, Lord, I got them. I got the honky tonk blues.
And then, of course, I went down to the Apollo Theater that wasn't far from me. And I saw Jimmy Reed.
Bright light.
You know, as a kid, the way I put it is I wanted to communicate like Hank Williams, and I wanted to groove like Jimmy Reed. I loved the way he rolled. You know, he just had it was so real, so smooth, you know, so good, so honest, Jimmy Reed.
Hey, ball fan, can't you hear me when I come? Big boss man, can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just told us all.
I can tell you, Jimmy Reed and Hank Williams were just changed my life. You know, it's hard to explain how a song gets in you and the twists and turns and where it goes and how it stays in your memory and, you know, it just, what it does to you. I was a fanatic. I was like crazy. I'd pigeonhole people in my neighborhood and say, you gotta hear this. I met a guy, I heard a song, this guy rhymed was with buzz. And they were like, they didn't know what I was talking about. It was crazy, but I loved it. And now all these years later, I haven't changed. You know, I'm still excited about it. You know.
Well, I'm really interested to know. I mean, I know you said it's like it's hard to describe what it is about a song that gets inside of you and like changes you in some way. But I'm interested to know, like, if you can kind of identify a couple things about what it was about that Hank Williams song that hit you, because you probably had heard lots of music by the time you heard the Hank Williams song, but what was different about that?
That's the point. Maybe I didn't hear a lot of music. I heard a lot of, you know, maybe the crooners, the Italian crooners in my neighborhood, what was coming out of the jukebox, or what I heard from weddings.
Our love affair is a wondrous thing that we'll rejoice in remembering our love.
Now, you gotta understand, I did, my father did play a lot of like opera tunes, you know, from Caruso and Beniamino Gigli.
Mi porto di rancore.
when I heard Hank Williams, there was a definite rhythm that was locked in, and the guy, when he communicated a lyric, it drilled right into you, because the guy would grab, like at the end of a sentence, he would grab onto a word with his mouth and he would rip it off. It was so compelling to me. It was like he meant what he said and said what he meant, you know, and it was like it resonated with my heart and with my soul. I learned how to live listening to Hank Williams music.
Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing and a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. Why don't you spark me like you used to do and say sweet nothings like
he,
you used to coo?
He had an alternate ego, or it was, or a person that was called Luke the Drifter, and he used to do these recitation songs about, you know, one is called A Funeral, about a little African-American kid who died and what he experienced at the funeral and what he experienced in relationships and the pictures from Life's Other Side. Unbelievable stories, and it just took me away into a world that... It just opened my world. It totally opened my world listening to this kind of music. But that guy was so committed to a lyric. It was like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything just compelled. You had to listen to it.
I was walking in Savannah past a church decayed and dim, when slowly through the window came a plaintive funeral hymn. And my sympathy awakened and a wonder quickly grew till I found myself environed in a little colored pew. Out front a colored couple sat in sorrow nearly while. On the altar was a casket and in the casket was a child. I could picture him while living, curly hair, protruding lips. I'd seen perhaps a thousand in my hurried southern trips.
And then I started doing these songs and... you know, I just grew along those lines, and I started singing in the saloons when I was 13. The guys loved me, and they would hide me in the kitchen when the cops came around. But you know, in my neighborhood, and then you know, when I became a young teenager, well, when I was about 17, I got a recording contract. But right before that, I started listening to. Maybe guys a little older than me, but my contemporaries, you know, like you hear A Whole Lot of Shaking by Jerry Lee Lewis. That took you to the moon.
Come on over, baby, a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah, come on over, baby, baby, you can't go wrong. Honey, I ain't faking, I got a whole lot of shaking going on. Come on over, baby, we
you know,
got
Chuck chicken Berry with Maybelline or Johnny B. Goode, the first time you ever hear something like that, because you got to understand, I didn't grow up to rock and roll. There was no rock and roll. There was no teenage music when I grew up. We started inventing it.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do.
So I'm a first generation rock and roller, and I it was all around me, whether it was Sam Cooke.
If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, oh, bring it to me, bring your sweet love, bring it on home to me. Yeah, I gotta tell you this, baby.
Roy Orbison or the Everly Brothers.
Some sunny day, baby, when everything seems okay, baby, you wake up and find that you're alone, cause I'll be gone. Go, go, gone, really gone.
We all had a different brand from a different part of the country, like Richie Valens was from the San Fernando Valley and, you know, the Chicano. And Buddy Holly was from Lubbock, Texas. you know, people were coming at it from a different place.
Oh, hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rave on, it's a crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you. Rave on.
So a lot of that turned me on, you know. And, yeah, like, I still like that feeling of walking out on stage with a Fender and taking the stance and going through a set, you know. I just love the feeling of that free abandonment and just letting it rip, you know. It's just crazy.
When you started singing, when you started, like, making recordings and performing in front of people, did you kind of think to yourself, like, what would Hank Williams do, for lack of a better word? Or like, were you always trying to kind of get to that place of commitment, of total bodily, spiritual commitment to a lyric?
I don't think I was trying to copy Hank Williams. This is what I remember when I was very young. I was trying to copy Hank Williams, and I can still do a pretty good job of it. Of the kind of cadence that, you know, the rhythm and stuff. But my father borrowed the landlady's tape recorder. It was a Pentron. And I sang some songs on it. And when I played it back, it didn't sound like Hank Williams. I was so disappointed. I was like, what is that? You know, it didn't sound like him. I was, first of all, I was 12 or 13. But in my head, I was Hank Williams. So I guess very early on, I started working with what I had. And I don't think I wasn't trying to copy anybody. I kind of digested things around me, you know, even cantors from Jewish synagogues. And yeah, we didn't have YouTube or iTunes, so you got inspired by what was coming out of people's windows, you know, and the car radios. And so if you could play the record Born to Cry, you'd hear me canting.
A process of like taking in all of this stuff through the years and then processing it and then having it come out as Dion. I mean, what was that process like for this latest record? Because you've continued to record, continued to put records out.
Yeah, well, for instance, my experiences growing up, I grew up in the Bronx, across the street from a bar room, George's Bar. And there were these mafiosa types, these gangster wannabe mafiosa type, you know, the guys that try to impress the girls with their, you know, with their silk suit. It looked shiny suits. I don't know what it was. And their jewelry and, you know, and like, you know. So when this theme, for instance, it kind of reemerges every once in a while. I put a song together when I was a kid called The Wanderer. And you know, it's about one of these guys, but it's a sad song. It says, I roam from town to town, I go through life without a care. I'm as happy as a clown with my two fists of iron, but I'm going nowhere. So it's kind of like a guy who's just, it turns in on itself, the song. I
show a rosy on my chest, 'cause I'm a wanderer. Yeah, a wanderer.
Then I put a song together, I wrote a song called King of the New York Streets, which is the same guy from a different angle, you know. It's, you know, people call me the scandalizer. The world is my appetizer. I turn gangs into fertilizer because I'm king of the New York streets. You know, and then it ends up where the guy sees that, you know, he's delusional.
Like a window pane, a breakfast that he nails and chains. To my kingdom I proclaim, king of the New York street. He walked all the same.
And then on this new album, I have a song called Gangster of Love, which is it's the same guy. But so it shows up every once in a while, and it comes out a certain way because of my experiences.
And to think it may have all started a little bit with hearing Hank Williams. That's so cool, man.
My hero.
Baby, I ain't the mom. Baby, I got no racket. I'm a man, I'm doing a job. I can heal underneath my jacket. Heal it in my heart. All loaded up for tonight. I'll finish whatever I start. Baby, you know I might. I'm your gangster love. Hey, now what do you think of that? You know I put away all my rivals. But I rattle tat tat.
Is Gangster of Love by Dion, the third iteration of this man that he's been writing about in songs since he was a kid. And like, would you have ever expected that Dion would have been so into Hank Williams or country music? Like, I had no idea, for real. I also would not have expected him to cite cantering as an influence in his songs, but that's why I love doing these interviews and making this podcast. It expands my own understanding of artists that I think I know, and it broadens how I perceive and understand inspiration. If you like having your mind expanded and hearing stories like the one that Dion just told, then please take a minute to go subscribe to this song on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you'll get new episodes delivered right to you. And while you're there, you can peruse our archives. I mean, we've got a ton of episodes with folks like Glenn Hansard and the Johns from They Might Be Giants and Benjamin Booker and Alessia Cara, all of them talking about some kind of musical experience that opened them up to seeing the world in a new way. And while you're there, we'd love it if you would leave a rating or a review. Ratings and reviews help people find us in the vast world of iTunes, and they make everyone here at Team This Song feel really, really good. Okay, let's move on to Amanda Ceballos. She's a country singer here in Austin, Texas, where she regularly plays to late night dancing crowds. She's had a really great experience this summer. She was chosen as a finalist in this year's Telluride Troubadour Songwriting Contest at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. And she was able to go to Telluride and perform her songs in front of a huge festival crowd. Her latest record is called Got Me Where You Want Me, and she recently released it on vinyl. And she came to KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, to tell me about how the title track to that record transformed her songwriting. And she also explained what it's like to play country music in Texas. So here she is, Amanda Ceballos.
I would have to say it's the title track to this, my new vinyl, Got Me Where You Want Me, because of the feel of the song. So it's kind of that wailing thing.
You got me where you want me, but you don't want me that bad. And it's sad, it's so sad how you don't want me where you got me.
And can you describe kind of like what that wailing feel is? Like if you could describe it in words.
It's like a backbeat. It's like behind. It's kind of behind the beat. In words, I would say it's like it's a groove. Waylon Jennings did something to country music that no one else really did, and at that time, and he made it really gritty, you know, And that's kind of what that feel is. It's kind of rock. It's kind of blues. It's, I don't know.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, there's something about, like, somebody, I always feel like country songs, you can differentiate them by their drum beats and their bass lines.
Absolutely.
So, like, a shuffle will have, like, a walking bass line.
Yes.
And a Waylon Beatle have, like, doom, doom, doom,
yeah,
doom, 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 like that.
There
kind of,
you go.
Yeah.
But those weren't words.
How'd you,
Elizabeth?
That's true. I can't really. I mean, they're kind of words. Doom, doom, doom. That's a word.
Nice try.
Had you ever written anything in that style before?
I mean, no.
Yeah.
No.
So how did it feel when you did it?
It was transformational. It really was. I mean, that's a great question. It was. I was like, and it opened up my phrasing too of the songs, of, you know, because as a writer, I'm always thinking about that. I'm always thinking about, how does this fit into this feel, what I'm saying? And, you know, and also, does this even go with the song? Because the song is sad. And the Waylon feeling, the Waylon beat is a little more upbeat. But it's also, it's kind of chugging, it's kind of moving along. And it can be kind of happier.
Mm-hmm.
So to write a kind of a sad song to that happy, juxtaposing that happy, you know, feel was transformation.
Threw it away like a penny in a well, but I'll be the lucky one wishing you well. 'Cause I tried, I tried, I tried, and I tried.
Had you recently just started listening to Waylon, or is it something you've been listening to for a long time and just started kind of getting into?
I got back into it.
Okay.
Because I was always a Waylon fan.
Right.
You know? But I just hadn't really, you know, it was dancing. I would go out dancing as well, two-stepping, and kind of see how the band would flow into different styles of songs for the dancers. And as to have a country band, you've got to think about those things. And so I knew that I was lacking this kind of style of a song.
So for people who aren't familiar with, like, Texas dance hall culture.
Yeah.
Like, can you kind of describe what it's like to be a band that plays dance halls in Texas? Like, because I think a bunch of people are used to going to shows where they stand there.
Yeah.
And they watch the band, and the band does its thing, and the audience applauds.
Right.
And then everyone and the audience takes, like, phone pictures or whatever.
Right.
And then everyone goes home.
You're so funny.
But in Texas, it's a totally different thing. So can you kind of talk about what that's like?
Yeah. Well, it's more about dancing to the music so much than staring at the artist or dancing to the song, too. A lot of times people are like, oh, that's my song, you know, and they just go running out of the dance floor. And they've got a little routine, too. Some dancers even have, like, their partners and them have a little thing down for that song. but it's not so much about drinking. It's not so much about standing there. It's about being a part of it.
Like, what do you think changed in your writing after you wrote that song?
I think that I was needing that song at the time to encourage me to write a record, you know, a new record. And I was stuck. I really didn't have anything to write about at the time. And I was, you know, I force myself sometimes to just practice, basically, which turns into a songwriting session for me. And so I was doing that day, and I just opened up one of my, I have a lot of old writing books, and I keep them because there's lines throughout the book just written down, and they don't have a poem or they don't have anything there. It's just a line that I don't want to forget. And this was before I had an iPhone. Oh. Okay, so these are old books.
Yeah.
And so I went through it, and I found a line, and it said, "You got me where you want me, but you don't want me that bad." And I was like, that's pretty cool. And I don't remember when I wrote that. And so I took that line and I wrote that song. It made me realize that I was still writing good songs and that I needed to just keep on chugging and just write more. It encouraged me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cool. Thanks.
Goodbye, truth. It was nice getting to know you. My old friend lied. Never made me feel so blue. But thank you for the kind words.
And below me is Goodbye, Truth from Amanda Ceballos' new record, Got Me Where You Want Me. And do you feel like you've learned a little something about country music today? I mean, for me, this was a sweet episode to put together because there was a time when Hank Williams and Lefty Frizzell and Waylon Jennings, they were the only music I wanted to listen to. Their songs were the only songs I wanted to sing. I mean, I moved to Austin, Texas to play country music, to play shuffles and dance halls and clubs where people two-stepped. It was my main goal in life. And then I joined a band, Asleep at the Wheel, and we played country music all over the country and in Europe. I mean, now my musical world is much expanded, but I still get a chill when I hear the plaintive wail of Hank Williams. So this was a nice episode for me. It reminded me of how I'm connected to Dion and to Amanda by our shared love, our shared inspiration. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. I recorded the Dion interview and Cliff Hargrove recorded the Amanda Ceballos interview. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account. She's doing some really cool things. You should go check it out. It's at This Song KUTX. Kelly Seal is our new intern. Welcome to the This Song team, Kelly. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is at This Song KUTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song, along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.